Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Quick little story about my mom. It was told the first service. I remember I was like seven, eight years old as the choir's exiting. We were at either Disney World or Great America, one of these big amusement parks. And, you know, when you're a little guy, that's a huge place. You know, it's like just big. And I remember walking in there, and, you know, my mom was saying, "Okay, now, Matthew, listen." I was like, "Okay." You know, when your mom, how many of you know moms, they get that certain voice, okay? The tone changes. They go, "Listen to me," you know, that whole thing. Okay, so anyway, she was that, and I said, "Okay, I'm listening." She said, "If you get lost, don't move." Okay, got it. Don't move. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, about couple hours later, you know, I kind of got a little distracted like 7 or 8 year old boys do, and was looking at a butterfly or something and just wandered off, you know. And then all of a sudden I looked around, couldn't find anybody. Where's mom? Where's dad? Where's brothers? Where's sisters? Couldn't recognize anybody. So what did I do? I was like literally mid-stride, I just stopped right in the middle of the road. So 7 year old boy, crowds of people are walking by and I'm just like this. And, you know, people are doing this thing. They're like, is he praying or what's going on here? You know, like who's the, you know, nobody stopped to say, little boy, why are you standing still? You know, nobody. So I'm standing there. But, you know, I wasn't crying or screaming. I was like, well, mom said if we get lost, just stand here. So I stood there. And then about, it probably felt like a long time. It was probably 10 minutes or something. All of a sudden you hear, Matthew! And my mom's just like running slow motion, breaking through the crowds, like a fullback, you know, running through the line, you know. And she gets there, and then she had this look of, you know, the only moms, you know, the look of fear, terror, frustration, anger, relief, all at the same time. It's kind of like this, you know, something like that. So anyway, she's like, "What did you do?" I said, "You said to stand still if I get lost." And she said, "Okay." I'll never forget that. So, good wisdom for parents. If your kids get lost, tell them to stand still. All right? We'll get to you. Anyway, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 today. Really excited to share a little bit of a word today with our church family. This message is going to directly apply to all of our moms since it is Mother's Day. However, there will be a lot that a father, a brother, a sister, aunt and uncle could really take away from the message today. We've been praying all day that what you've come into the building with today, that God himself would speak to your heart in a very personal way. The word of God is living and active. If you're new to church, the Bible is not just some old book. The Bible is the word of God, and it is alive and it is living, and the Holy Spirit breathes upon us. And our entire lives are molded and can be transformed through it. The Word of God is one of the most powerful tool on the entire planet. So what we're going to do today is we're going to study three stories. We're going to look at three little stories. Of two of them are women, are moms. One of them is a mother and a dad. And we're going to look at how they prayed and how they were able to see God move miraculously. Man, I want you to imagine that Jesus is lined up right in front of you right now, okay? He's standing in front of your chair, and he's looking at you with those gentle, loving, yet fierce eyes that only God has. And he's asking you, and he would ask you, what miracle do you want from me today? Just imagine that for a second, that Jesus is standing in front of you, and he's in essence saying, what do you want from me? What do you need for me to do? And these stories we're going to look at is in a lot of ways people, two moms, they were desperate for God to do a miracle. They were desperate and they pleaded and they prayed and God answered and God moved powerfully. You know, sometimes you might say, well, little old me out of all the billions of people on planet Earth, I can't. Why would God pay attention to me? You want to know why God pays attention to us? Because he loved us and he died for us. He loves us and he died for us. He did not shed his blood for us just so that we can get a free pass to heaven. But he shed his blood for us so that he could walk with us day by day, moment by moment, answering and being the God who is the one who's able to take all of the credit for those things that are impossible. Sometimes God brings us into situations and circumstances that he's the only one that could actually bring the solution, bring the breakthrough, and bring the miracle. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. Jesus, we welcome you here to this place. Though we can't see you, we know your presence is with us. And we ask now that you would lead us and that you would guide us, Father. And God, you know every burden and every challenge that is represented in this room. Every mother who is believing God for a miracle. Every father who's believing God for a miracle. Every single person that is believing God for something supernatural and something divine that only you can do. God, we pray today that the heavens would be opened over this place, God. And that faith would fill every heart and every life. And we pray that the word of God would speak and would cut to the deepest points of our heart. So we love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's the main thing we're going to talk about today. The miraculous power of God is released through desperate prayers that are full of faith. The miraculous power of God is released through desperate prayers full of faith. We're going to look at some situations where our brothers and sisters, they prayed desperate prayers. They didn't just pray the God, if you could, or God, maybe if you have time. They prayed a prayer. And something happened in their heart that they said, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. There's a place, there's different kinds of prayers, but today we're going to talk about the desperate prayers. The title of the message is The Miraculous Plea of a Desperate Mother. The Miraculous Plea of a Desperate Mother. God will use the prayers of moms especially because there's something about a mother's heart for her child. There's something about a mother's heart that they are image bearers. You recognize we are all image, we all bear the image of God. Men bear a certain aspect of God's nature. We're not gods, we're human beings. However, we've been created in God's image. Because we've been created in God's image, men reflect a certain aspect of who God is. And a lot of it's the warrior part of it, it's the logical, it's the linear, it's the different kind of, you know, the ability to endure and have certain types of strength. God has made men in a certain way, okay? God has made women also in a certain way. Sometimes men would say, well, my wife or my mom, they're just so emotional. Well, if you say that and you say it in a negative way, you don't understand who God is. Because God is extremely emotional. God is the one who weeps, and God has a specific kind of heart. God feels things in a way that I believe he has imparted that into women, and especially mothers, so that the mother's heart is a reflection of God's heart in certain ways and in certain situations. And so there's this prayer. We're going to look at these stories where there is something supernatural is released when moms, and of course this applies to all of us, but specifically when these mothers pray and God does something miraculous and powerful. So we're going to look at three different faith-building lessons that will enable us, all of us today, to be able to pray desperate, faith-filled prayers. And you know what desperation is on the last thing? You're desperate when you realize you've got no other place to go. And some of you here, heaven has been held up over your life because you've got a fail-safe plan. Some of you may have even been serving the Lord for a long time, and you're like, God, why won't you do fill in the blank? And it might be because you've got a backup plan. And God's waiting for you to get rid of the backup plan so that you're truly desperate and completely and totally dependent upon him. And then the miracle will be released in your life. There should never be a plan B if God doesn't come through. If you've got a backup plan, well, if God doesn't come through on this, well, then I can go and do this. Well, that's not being in faith, and you probably will not experience the supernatural, miraculous power of God. Okay? So desperation is when you're in this place where I've got no other place to go. I've got no other place to look. You are my only hope. You're the last place. God, you're the only one who can do this. And that, by the way, it should be like that in the big things and the small things. How many know we live and move and have our being in him? He's the author of and sustainer of our entire lives. Amen. Amen. All right, so story number one is going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me set this up for you real quickly. This is a story of Elijah. Everyone say Elijah. Elijah, he's with a J. And he was out. He was a prophet of God. He's a representation of what I want to say, a representation of Jesus in the Old Testament. He was the one who spoke on behalf of God. And now something horrible had happened in the land. There was a famine that had come across the land, and there was no food, and it was just, imagine walking out here today All the restaurants are shut down. There's no food on the shelves at the grocery store. Amazon.com's not delivering anything to your house, okay? You can't just click and find food. There's nothing. And you literally are about to go eat your last meal. Happy Mother's Day, right? That'd be a great Mother's Day. So this mom, Elijah walks up on the scene, and God says to Elijah, go ask her for a meal. Elijah's like, okay. So he goes to the woman. He tells her, hey, God, would you cook me a meal? And she says, sir, I'm here getting these sticks, and me and my son, we've got nothing left. And I'm about ready to go and make our last meal, and then we're going to die. Because back then, there was no welfare. There was no homeless shelters. When you were done, you were done. At least in that time, there was no backup. There was no other place to go. And he said, listen, don't worry. Don't worry. If you respond to this, God will supply all of your needs from this point forward. And her the oil and the flour never ran out because she gave out of her poverty. Now, that's kind of what was going on. She had a son. She's what I would call an impoverished single mother. She was a widow. She was a single mom, and all she had was that. So this goes in here. I'm going to start reading now. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. It says this. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times. Everyone say three times. Sometimes the miracle doesn't happen the first time. Sometimes it doesn't happen the second time. Three times. There's another story where Elijah prayed that the rain would come. For those of you who know the Bible, how many times? Seven times. Sometimes we have to keep believing and trusting God. So here it is. End of verse 21. Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. Verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room and into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is true. The word of your mouth is true. This is a very tragic situation. Because this woman, who was already in a tough spot, her son now died. Her son now passed away. And she was in such a place of distress that what she did is she went to Elijah and she said, and she just was honest with him. She in essence said this, do you remind me of my son? Did you kill my son because I'm sinful? That's a pretty audacious thing to say, right? But you know what? Sometimes when you're in a place of desperation, one of the best things to do is to be honest with God. If you're real with God, God will be real with you. Okay? Christianity is not about faking it till you make it, putting on a happy face, acting like nothing's wrong. That is not biblical Christianity. That's just being religious. Okay? But if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're able to be honest with him. You look in the book of Psalms, David was many times saying he was venting his heart before the Lord and putting it out there, and et cetera, et cetera. And so what she did is she was just desperately said this prayer to Elijah. And then here's what he does. He takes the boy, and he kind of takes him into another room and shuts the door, okay? And he begins to intercede. He begins to pray. He begins to, you know, he kind of body slams him, you know? It's like a different time of thing. He puts his body on three times and spreads his body over him, and he's believing God to do a miracle. And all this time, this single mom is behind the closed door, and she doesn't necessarily know what's going on. We don't know how long this took. Could have taken 5 minutes. Could have taken an hour. Could have taken half a day. But in the meantime, there's a faith-building lesson to be learned here. Keep knocking on the door and trust that God is working on the other side of it, okay? Mom, can I encourage you today? Is your son or your daughter in a place that you can't see them anymore? Maybe that you know they've already died, or they're in a place of spiritual death, they're in a place of discouragement, they're not where they should be, and they're out of your control, and they're behind a closed door, so to speak. But you've been praying for them, you've been asking God for them. Can I encourage you? Keep knocking on that door and believe that God is working on the other side of that door, okay? I want to share a quick story with you. It's powerful. I was walking out. I don't know all the details. This morning, we went out, and his brother came up to me, one of our ushers, said, "Pastor, I got to tell you this story." He said, "I was just reminded that I need to go and really appreciate my mom and sit with my mom and talk to my mom." He said, I was a rascal. Just a showing of hands. How many guys were rascals when you were young? Maybe just okay, some of us, okay. Okay, I bet you I could give the mic today and we could stand up here for hours with people talking about where would we be if someone wasn't praying for me. Where would we be? You know what's great about prayer? Prayer transcends time and space. You don't have to be in the same space to pray. Your child might be in the jungles of Madagascar doing something crazy right now, but you can be desperately praying and pleading and saying, "God, would you reach them in the name of Jesus? God, they might be dead, but God, I'm believing and I'm trusting that you can reach them and you can do the miraculous power, God." They might be in the military. They might be on, if there was colonies on Mars and they were on Mars, God can reach them on Mars. Okay. So he was telling me this story. He was praying. He said my mom was always praying for me. And I knew my mom was praying for me. And then little by little, now I'm serving the Lord. And he's an incredible man of God. He said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to tell her." Well, listen, if you might be on the other side where you're waiting for your child, you might be a grandparent, you're waiting for your grand, you might be an aunt and uncle, you're waiting for a niece or a nephew, or you might even be here today and you're that person that's spiritually dead. You might be slightly backslidden in your heart and nobody knows it. You could be potentially in a struggle where death is spiritual death and maybe even physical death has been creeping at your door. But can I encourage you today? Do not give up on the miracle from God, because God is just, you never know, you might be one day away from God doing his, releasing his mighty power. Let's praise God for his mighty power today. Hallelujah. That's the first lesson. Keep knocking on the door and trust. Everyone say trust that God is working on the other side. And sometimes God doesn't let you see what he's doing because he's trying to build your faith. Be strong and trust. And so what happens is this mother then was able to receive her son back to life. Now, kind of a cousin to this story. There's a cousin to this story that I want to read actually over in the book of Luke chapter 7 real quickly. Kind of very similar story, but it's New Testament now. Luke chapter 7. Jesus is on his way in his ministry. Luke 7:21, it says this: "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders," Luke 7, I'm reading in book of Mark. My bad. All right. "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her." Look at this, verse 13. "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry. Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the bier," which the bier is like this table, this kind of like this stretcher that they would carry the body on to the gravesite. They were carrying him on it. The bearer stood still and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up. Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Look up here real quick. So what we see from this story is this mother didn't even necessarily make a prayer to the Lord. But something moved God's heart in such a way that he extended his miraculous hand. Something. If they can call the musicians, we're going to close here in a little bit. Something happened. You know what it was? It was that this mother was weeping tears in the presence of the Lord. She was weeping, and God saw her tears. God saw her tears. Can I encourage you today that not one tear that you may have shed for a loved one as a prayer to the Lord has gone unnoticed? You might be here, and you may have been up last night, 4 a.m, 3 a.m, weeping before the Lord because of a loved one that you see is on a path towards darkness. Look at this verse in the book of Psalms that talks about weeping. It says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying their sheaves with them. Here's the second faith-building lesson for us today. Tears sown on the heart of God will reap the miracle from the hand of God. The tears. Now, these aren't necessarily just tears that are just tears of sorrow, but these are tears that are, that it's a sense that you can trust that God is seeing your tears, and you say, God, I'm believing that this grief and this incredibly challenging time that I'm going through is not for nothing. It's not for nothing. Now, I always mention this on certain days like today. You might be here today as a mom, and you may have gone through one of the most difficult times. You may have lost a child. And I want to encourage you today that even if you've lost a child, on this day, all of your tears, I believe God wants to come with his arms of love and just wrap them around you. Can I tell you today, if you're feeling grief, if you're feeling sorrow, if you're feeling loss, it's okay. Because Jesus was so moved in his heart when he saw this woman's tears. He was moved. And for us today, if you're in a place of loss and you're in this place where you feel like emotionally you have just been broken down because of something that's happened, I want us, and at the close, we're going to pray in a little bit here, but I want you to be able to say, you know what? I might be in a place of grief, but I'm going to use that grief to call upon the name of the Lord. Because the real question I have is not, are you grieving, but what are you to do with that grief? Because in the world, when we're grieving, that grief can turn to addiction, can turn to some sort of substance abuse. Grief can turn to something else that is for false comfort. Sometimes when we're grieving, it can turn to denial. But Jesus is saying, it's okay to grieve. Just come. Come to me. Come and let me help you. Be honest. And then Jesus, this is what's beautiful about the book of Psalms, is that even though we're full of tears, there will become a time when joy once again will fill our hearts. And this one last word, maybe you're here today and you've been in a very dark place because of loss. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy that says that you will be in that darkness for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. I don't know who that is, but I feel that's for somebody here today. You might have lost hope. But there is a man, his name is Jesus Christ, who is the King of all hope. And when you have Jesus, tomorrow is going to be a better day. We go from glory to glory and strength to strength. Let's praise him today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be comforted by that. Be comforted by that. It's okay to weep and to have a sense of loss. But the Bible says we don't mourn like those who have no hope. And tears do move the heart of God. They do move the heart of God. Men of God, can I encourage the men here for a second? Some of us men may have grown up in a culture that says, you know what, it's okay. It's weak to cry. If you cry, that means you're weak. And you know, God always turns things on the head. It's actually not the case. It's actually tears can actually be an incredible sign of strength. You want to know why? Because when we cry, I know this might be revelation to some of our brothers here. It's okay. This is important. For sisters, it's a lot easier. But for the brothers, it's like, no, that's not, no. Tears means that when we begin to tear, it means is our heart is beginning to open up. And when our heart is opening up, God is able to then come in and do the deep works that only he can do. Sometimes it's not anyone else. You might be waiting on God for a deep personal miracle. In your heart, there's things in there you can't get out. And God might be trying to touch your heart and move you to certain places so that you're broken before him. Well, he does that in a way so that he can break, so that he can then get in and begin a powerful work of healing and restoration. So that's the second faith-building thing. Here's the third and last faith-building story. This is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, where Jesus is going to begin to heal somebody who seemingly, quote, had it all. So we talked about a mom who was a single mom and poor. We then talked about another mom who is another single mom. But this is going to be a story about a man and a husband and a wife who are very well to do. They're at the upper crust of society. They had very positions that people in the entire city respected them for. They were actually godly people. They were probably at some levels they followed God and they obeyed Him and they tried their best to love God and serve God. And they still found themselves in a very desperate situation. They found themselves. So challenges and impossible situations and pain and all that comes to everybody. Start reading Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was there. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet. Verse 23, look at this. He pleaded earnestly, everyone say earnestly, with Him. My little daughter is dying, and if you're here and you have a little child, you can understand the gut-wrenching pain of this. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. I love this. So Jesus went with him. How many of you are thankful that when we ask Jesus to come with us to deal with something, He moves and He comes with us? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the devil will sneak in and he'll say, you're not worthy to have Jesus come and help you. That's a lie. None of us are worthy, but the blood of Jesus makes us worthy because we're now His children and we belong to Him and we can call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. And the Bible says He will come and He will answer us and He will glorify His name. God loves to answer the cry of the prayer of His children because a father loves to show his child how much he loves them. Oh, He loves it when we say, Daddy, I need you, I need you, I need you. I have nowhere else to go. And He's like, oh, I've been waiting for you to say that. Oh, I've been waiting for you to say and to let me come in and to help you. I'm ready to come and help you. And then it just moves the heart of God. So this very well-to-do man, he humbled himself before Jesus and he said, Jesus, I need you to come. My little girl is dying. She's dying. She's sick. Would you come and help? Jesus went with him. Now look at this. Look at this next part. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. They said this, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Look up here real quickly. Sometimes it's important for our faith. Be encouraged in your faith today. Sometimes when things are bad, even in the plan of God, they do get worse sometimes. Okay? Let me say that one more time. This is important, brothers and sisters, okay? This is so our faith can be strong. Moms, this is so your faith can be strong when you look upon your children. Dads and single people, the faith in our heart needs to be steadfast and sure. Sometimes, bad situation, I plead with God. I see God moving, and then it gets worse. Let me say that one more time. Bad situation, fill in the blank, whatever it is. You pray earnestly. God, I need your help. And then God begins to move. You begin to see God do some wonderful things. And then over here, you're like, what just happened? I thought God was on the move. It gets worse. And he got the word, she's dead. She's dead. His worst fears realized, your daughter's dead. And you might be here today, and you've been praying for a miracle. You've been asking God to do something that you know only he could do. And there's a voices that might come in and they say, you know what? Stop praying. Don't bother Jesus anymore. The situation is beyond repair. You know what? Don't even bother praying about that. Don't fill out a prayer request card. Don't talk to anybody. Don't even worry about bringing that up to God because it's already done. It's too late. It's too late. Now, these are obviously very physical miracles we're talking about here today. And we're doing it on purpose to paint a picture. Physical miracles are wonderful. Raising the dead, God still does that. There's stories we could tell you about God raising the dead, doing miracles, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. Physical miracles, those are all great, but those aren't the greatest miracles because guess what? Until Jesus comes, we all die again, okay? The body gets sick and old. Those are great miracles that bring glory to God. However, the greatest miracles is the miracles that God can go into a sin-sick soul that has been messed up for generations. That your mother and your mother's mother and your father and your father's father, and as far back as you could see, there has been a cycle of negativity and sin and broken marriages and broken homes and broken children and all of this. And then you could say, and you could start praying, God, I'm going to leave. You're going to break that cycle, and something gets worse. And then the devil sneaks in and he says, stop praying. Stop praying. Don't bother Jesus. But I want to tell you here today that that is a lie from the pit of hell, that as long as you have breath in your lungs, God will move. When you ask him and you plead earnestly for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then here's what Jesus says, and I believe the Spirit of God is trying to speak this to some hearts here today. You may have given up a decade ago, and today on this Mother's Day, God himself is going to resurrect faith in your heart. Look at this. Jesus said this. Don't be afraid. Just believe. That's it. He doesn't give him a 20-point a seminar on it. He doesn't actually even tell them what's about ready to happen. But the Bible says Jesus overheard them. He overheard them. You know what that means? What that means is that Jesus is always listening. Jesus is listening in your job. Jesus is listening with your family. Jesus is at your house when the husband and the wife are fighting and things are negative. And you said, man, I've been dealing with this issue for 25 years. I'm done dealing with this issue. Can I tell you something? Jesus is at the kitchen table. Jesus is with your child at college. Jesus is walking in the hallways with your kids. Jesus is on the factory floor with you husbands. He's on the CTA. He's on the internet. He's on your Facebook page, okay? Jesus is there. He's always listening. He's overhearing everything that's happening. And he's ready to speak against the voice of unbelief. And he's ready to say, don't be afraid of that report. Don't listen to those voices of cynicism. You know, some of the most cynical voices are actually the people that are closest to us. Sometimes the voices that can hurt us the most are the voices of the ones who are near us. And if you're sitting next to one of them, don't jab them in the shoulder, okay? Hold steady, okay? But the voice of the Spirit today is to build your faith, is don't be afraid, just believe. Does it say don't be afraid, try to figure it out? No. We live in a very intellectual society. Praise God for all the colleges and all the education and all of the knowledge that we have in the 21st century America. But Jesus doesn't say, don't be afraid and get a 12-year plan together of how I'm going to do the miracle. He said, don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe. You say, well, God, how? No, just believe. God, I don't understand. Just believe. God, I don't get the pet. Just believe. Let's praise God for the word of the Lord of just believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then what happens is, in this beautiful miracle, is then Jesus goes, and what we just mentioned, he actually gets rid of the crowd. He gets rid of everybody else. He goes to the house. These people are being cynical. They're saying, she's not going to be raised from the dead. The Bible says he puts them out. Some of you may have to go home today, and your challenge of faith is because you're surrounded by voices that you know you need to put out. You need to put them out. You need to get them out of there. That's what Jesus did. Then Jesus goes, and he goes to this little girl. He takes her by the hand. He says this word, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. At this time, they were completely astonished. I believe God, in response to our prayers, is going to take his hand and reach into whatever life or circumstance or situation you're believing him for, and he's going to say, get up and come back to life. Get up and come back to life. That's what he's going to do. Let's stand to our feet here this morning.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, it's on your word that we stand, oh God. God, it's on your word that we look to you, oh God. All your promises, oh God, they result in yes and amen, oh God. All your promises are true, oh God. You are faithful. You are true. You are, Lord, you never leave our side, oh God. And so, God, it's with perseverance that we press on, oh God. Lord, it's in faith that we look to you, oh God, and we know that the answer is on its way, oh God. Lord, I pray for every heart in here, oh God. And Lord, I ask, oh God, that you would increase our faith, oh God. God, without you, oh God, we can do nothing, but with you, oh God, if we have faith, you say that anything is possible, oh God. So God, we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, oh God. Lord, we say, take your glory, oh God. Lord, we say, have your way, oh God. Lord, we say, oh God, that the things that may seem dead, oh God, they can live according to your word, oh God. Lord, nothing is dead with you, oh God. So God, we look to you. Lord, we ask that you would order every one of our footsteps, oh God. And Lord, that you would give us the faith to walk step by step in line with you, oh God. So Lord, we look to you, we love you, and we trust you, oh God. Lord, you're not just a pharmacist, oh God, but Lord, you're a doctor. Lord, you dial up the exact thing that we need, oh God, and Lord, you give it to us, oh God, when we ask, oh God. So Lord, we ask, we plead, we are here, Lord, on our knees and on our faces with our hearts bowed to you, oh God, knowing that the exact response that we need is exactly what you'll give us, oh God. Lord, we love you. We look to you in the faith. In mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you that you've been with us today and you're going to continue to walk with us, Jesus. We thank you for giving us fresh faith to pray desperate prayers to you. God, there's no plan B, Father. You're our only hope. You're our only strength. You're our only source. We look to you. All of our faith and trust is in you alone, oh God. We don't look to the left or to the right, but we look up to the author and perfecter of our faith today. And Jesus, we thank you for fresh faith in all of our hearts. We thank you for the grace. Give us fresh ears to hear your voice continually, Lord. So now, God, would you bless us as we go? Holy Spirit, may this communion that we have right now continue with you, Lord, throughout the rest of this day. We trust you, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's praise him one last time. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.